John, Gospel of John. If you have the Bible, it's on page 1082 of the Bible. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This is the Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. And in the words of that first reading, Lord, I pray that you will come and teach us through the words that I share this morning. Amen. So our first kickoff of this series is actually asking, who is the Holy Spirit? Now, how many of you have watched the movie The Shack or read the book? There's a good number of you. Good. Anybody not? It's just putting it into context. Okay, there's a good... Okay, so The Shack, basically I'm just about to show a... Bless you guys. Bless you. Have fun. Get out while the adults carry on chatting. Yes. Thanks, Joe. The shack is a story, but I'm going to show a clip in a moment, a video. And the story is that the main character is going through trauma. And it's the story of grief that he's going through, and it's his encounter with God. And this little clip shows him encountering God as the Trinity, the three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's quite a provocative presentation of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But just look about how Mac, who's the main character, responds to each of the members of the Trinity.
Mackenzie Allen Phillips. My. Look at you.
Do I know you?
Not very well, but we can work on that. I've been so looking forward to this, to finally see you face to face. Can I take your coat? And that gun. We wouldn't want anyone to get hurt, now would we? I understand. It's confusing. We all do. You will do this on your terms and time. How about some introductions? I'm Alusia. I have a lot of names, but that's one of my favorites. Or if you want, you can call me what Nan does.
You know Nan?
Oh, yes. Very well.
Are you saying that you're...
I am.
The I am.
I am that I am. Look at that. Already quoting scripture. You bet my son.
Great to see you, Mac. Your son? Of course.
And, Sarah.
Sarah who? Sarah. It means a breath of wind. Alright. So...
Who is the Holy Spirit? I wonder how you connect with Mac there, who clearly was conscious and comfortable with meeting the Father, portrayed by the Black Lady, and the Son, familiar there. And then he looked slightly bemused, introduced to Sarah, and saying, Where's that all fit in? And I think that's a very common thing for many of us to understand where does the Holy Spirit fit in. And I just think for a moment, when I mention the Holy Spirit, what do you imagine? What's your experience of the Holy Spirit? What do you picture in your mind? Is it a sort of a wispy, ghostly thing, or nothing, or something substantial, or somebody substantial? How do you feel? Do you feel comfortable or unsettled or uncertain? Is it a familiar thing or an uncomfortable thing? Or do you relate it to charismatic madness or charismatic freedom? Is it a good or a difficult thing for you? I wonder what you understand by the term the Holy Spirit. Well, the reality is that we worship a Trinitarian God. Here we are, three persons in one. One God in three. A mystery of the three persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And those three persons are our one God. It's a mystery. But it's a mystery that has survived the test of time. It's a mystery that is clear in the scriptures. And it is at the very root of our faith. And I wonder what it's a bit like having a car. I don't know if you're a car buff, or I'm not particularly, but if the car is just the body, it's nothing. It of course needs an engine, and the engine is fine, but the engine's pretty useless unless it's got fuel. Pointing the wrong button, unless we've got fuel. And without any one of those three, the body or the body of the car or the engine or the fuel, actually you've got nothing, and certainly that car is going nowhere. And the Trinity is very, very much the same. We can't just have one or the other. We need the whole thing. We need all three parts of the Trinity, because if we don't, if we've just got one or two parts of the, bit like the car, if we've only got one or two parts of the car, then actually that car isn't going anywhere, that car isn't all that it should be. And it's the same with the Trinity. We need to know and be a part and embrace all three parts of the Trinity. Now, I'm not here this morning to teach on the Trinity, but the Trinity is foundational understanding to know where the Holy Spirit fits in and who is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is one of the three persons of the Trinity, and it's critical that we appreciate that. If we don't, as a church and as individuals, embrace all three members of the church, then we'll never know the fullness of God. We'll never know the richness and completeness of our relationship with God. We'll never know the fullness of his love and of his hope and of his joy and of his blessing and actually the power of God in our lives. And actually, I think we won't know the fullness of ourselves without also knowing the Holy Spirit. It's like that car with the body, the engine and the fuel. If one bit is missing, we're only part of something and not the whole. And I guess that most of us, a bit like Mac in that video, are pretty comfortable with the idea of God the Father and pretty comfortable about God the Son. But how comfortable are you about God the Holy Spirit? Let me ask you, when did you pray last to the Holy Spirit? When did you last worship the Holy Spirit in your language? When did you last say, Holy Spirit, I bless you, I praise you, I love you, I welcome you? When did you ask the Holy Spirit for something in your prayers? I have to say, for me, this was quite new about 5 or 6 years ago. I was very comfortable with talking in my prayers and in my relationship with God by using the word Father and Son. But rarely did I talk to and relate or pray specifically to the Holy Spirit. And I was challenged in this for myself, because the Holy Spirit is part of God. And therefore we should be worshipping, we should be praying to, we should be praising, we should be blessing, we should be welcoming the Holy Spirit as much as we do use the language of Father and Son. Now, I still find, preparing this, I suddenly found myself that actually talking and praying to and talking to and relating to the Holy Spirit was still not instinctive. My default is to pray to the Father. My default, if I'm not to the Father, it's to Jesus. And in different circumstances, I will ebb and flow between those two. But I realise it's still not instinctive to be able to pray and to draw in the Holy Spirit into my prayers directly. I do indirectly, but not directly. But if we don't engage with the Holy Spirit, we can't experience the fullness of our faith or draw upon the full blessings of heaven. And I think that's key. If there's nothing else, for today. It's to take away that sense that we need to engage with the Holy Spirit. I hope you know that God does extraordinary things in so many ways. And we often think that the extraordinary is the domain of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps the miracles, healings and so on. But I hope you'll see in the coming few weeks, and what we want to get over and teach and learn together, is that perhaps more importantly, that the Holy Spirit is part of the ordinary. You and our everyday lives, the Holy Spirit is not only right there with us, but wants to be fully engaged with the ordinary things of our ordinary lives. And I hope you've started to pick up that sort of line of living with God, living our ordinary lives with God, and you'll hear more of that as the weeks go on. Now, some of that may all be completely new to you. If you're new to church, the Trinity may be completely new and your mind's going a little bit goggled-eyed. Well, that's okay. But for the rest of us, as we enter this teaching series, can I invite you to set aside your preconceptions, your prior experiences, any fears that you might have about engaging with the Holy Spirit, and actually set aside all those and start from scratch. Set aside those and be open to seeing what the Holy Spirit wants to teach you and engage with you over the coming weeks. And so just a moment, let us stop and let me pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, I pray right now that we can set aside those things that we've experienced, the things that we've known of you in the past, but we would be open to new revelation, new experience, and a new and deeper relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to whistle through some things that just says who is the Holy Spirit. And we have hit the first one, that the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, a member of the Trinity. And we need to hold on to that. The second key important thing is that the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is often seen as a force, a bit like Star Wars. If you're a Star Wars fan, often it's seen the Holy Spirit as the force behind God. And that's not the case. And I'm tentative to have used that analogy about the car and the engine, and then there was the fuel, and you could see the fuel might potentially be the force. It's not the case. The Holy Spirit is not an it, not a power. The Holy Spirit is a person, like the Father and the Son is a person. And the consequences of this is massive. Why? Because if the Holy Spirit is an it, then it's an object, it's a thing. If it's a power, it's like a resource that we're going to draw upon. He's not. The Holy Spirit is a person. And here's the nugget. If the Holy Spirit is a person, it requires us to have a relationship. We need a relationship to have with the Holy Spirit. And there is a teaching all on its own. What does a relationship mean? And I just throw it out. A relationship, like a relationship with any of us, requires time. It requires conversation. It requires investment. It requires listening. It requires talking to. It requires getting to know each other. And that's what we want to do this summer. We want to get to know the Holy Spirit on a whole new level and deeper and richer way. What's the state of your relationship with the Holy Spirit? Is it rich and active? Or actually, do you not have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? And that's okay, because you can start today. So that's really key. The Holy Spirit is a person, and therefore we must enter a relationship. Okay, whistling through some other things. So we can take. The Holy Spirit is eternal. We heard in Genesis, right at the beginning of time, the Spirit was with God, the Creator God who brought the world into being. And we also heard that in the John 14, that's the first time that Jesus also introduces the Holy Spirit to the disciples. And the Holy Spirit will be there right at the end of the time. In our reading in verse 15, Jesus says the Holy Spirit will be with you forever. So the Holy Spirit is eternal. The Holy Spirit is also emotional. The scriptures tell us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians particularly, do not grieve the Holy Spirit as a result of our bitterness, of our anger, of our rage, of our slander, as our malice. And also Isaiah talks about us not grieving the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is emotional. And if the Holy Spirit is a person, then he's going to be emotional and have those characteristics. The Holy Spirit is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. Long theological words. Bottom line is, the Holy Spirit is all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere. All-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere. The Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of truth. And that was said in the scripture this morning. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And therefore the Spirit of truth is the Spirit in us that convicts us of sin. The things he convicts us, he guides us, he reveals the truth, he teaches us. He is the counselor that gives us and guides us into truth. And as a result, the Spirit is the Spirit that changes us because of that. And also the Spirit lives within us. Again, Jesus said that he lives with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit dwells within you and within me. And as a result, the Spirit is the thing that changes, the person that changes us and changes our lives. And finally, the Spirit, as with so much of God, is mysterious. And we need, as so much of our faith, the mysterious faith, there is so much that we need to just be content with the mysteriousness. God is the creator, we are the created, and therefore we will not know everything. And therefore we need to be comfortable. In fact, Isaiah, do I have it? Yes, I think I do. Isaiah. No, I didn't. I took it out. The Isaiah in 40. So Isaiah says, "Who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as our counselor?" Who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord? And we need to be comfortable with that. Francis Chan, who's a church leader, he said this: "The point is not to completely understand God, the Holy Spirit, but to worship him." And then we need to be able to set our need to understand everything and to worship the Holy Spirit in our relationship. But what we can understand and what Scripture does tell us, and what in summary I'll go through again, is that we do know that the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not an it or a power or a resource. The Holy Spirit is eternal. The Holy Spirit is emotional. The Holy Spirit is omnipotent. He's everywhere and all-powerful. The Holy Spirit is a Spirit of truth. He lives in us and is with us always. And he is mysterious, as with so much of God. The question for us and the opportunity for us today and in the coming weeks is to whether we want to grow in this relationship. Engage with our relationship, engage, whether that's starting our relationship or developing and growing. A.W. Tozer said this: "If the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, In the time of Acts, 90% of what they did would stop and everyone would know the difference. I think that's a deeply challenging reflection of our age, and particularly within the Western Church, of our intellectual enlightenment. And so I think the challenge for us is, as we go into this new season, is would we notice if the Holy Spirit wasn't leading us and guiding us? How much of our lives is led by the Holy Spirit or led by our own good ideas and desires? And so I want to leave us just with this question. How do you want your relationship with the Holy Spirit to grow in the coming weeks? And you might just take some of those things and those elements of who the Holy Spirit is and think, actually, I want to know you and understand you more in those. Know you here, not here. And so before we move on, let's just in a moment of silence, and then I'll pray, and then we'll worship. Ask that question for yourself. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us afresh in this new season. Deepen our knowledge of you, not head knowledge, not mental knowledge, but heart knowledge. Lord, open our relationship up. Perhaps you need to say, just this morning, you need to say yes. I say yes to you, Holy Spirit. But wherever we particularly want to grow, Lord, would you come and lead us, deepen our relationship, show us you in the ordinary things of life. Not just on a Sunday morning, not just in our prayer time, not just when we get together as in our small groups, but in the detail and activity of our lives. In Jesus' name, Amen.